promises for women, and it talks about how to walk with other sisters, how to be a delightful woman of God, how to, the plan for sisters. Sister, can I get you? We will come right to you. This one's God's Promises for Women. Enjoy it. It's a wonderful book. You know, sometimes I like to read a book all in one sitting, and I can't do that if it's this thick. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay, this one is for men. This is the Bible promise book. It's got over 1,000 promises. Praise the Lord. Who would? Okay. Young man. Okay. Let's give it to him. Praise the Lord. This one is for the classical person. This one, you know, sometimes I just want to hear music. It's got a violin concerto and Italian symphony. You like that? Okay, sister. This is the Mendelssohn Masterpiece Collection. Praise it. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. This one is... I love gifts. Christmas is my favorite time of the year. Christmas is 365 days for the Swan family. Somebody say amen. This one, we go there a couple of times a year. We'll be going in April to Australia, a conglomeration of churches. Okay, let me, a cry from down under before, let me just give it to her. All right, sister. And I love Australian music, so... that's a wonderful CD. This is the last one. I would like to give it to a couple. This book is entitled Ways to Say I Love You. Amen? Okay, the brother in the back. This one is, you know, it talks about candlelights and it talks about walks in the park. It talks about retreats. You will be the man. Praise the Lord. Thank you. He said he is already the man. Praise the Lord. Again, I would like to honor my Heavenly Father. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Glory to God. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for my Heavenly Father. I'd like to honor my God, my Heavenly Father, my Abba, my Daddy. God the Father, I appreciate you. Also, I'd like to honor my wife. She sometimes is not able to travel with me, but she wanted to make this trip. Today here at Dominion Church, I am convinced that I just wouldn't know where I would be in the ministry because I have no worries, no doubt that my family is being taken care of. I have three girls and she takes care of her household and my family. She knows what I need, what I want, what I desire. And the reason why I'm able to preach this word is because of my wife, Sandra Swan. Would y'all welcome her one more time? I appreciate her. Praise the Lord. Can you say a few words to the people of God? Okay, I may get it later, but hallelujah. She said, "Don't bring me up." And what do? I bring her up.
Well, it's a joy to really be here. I really did want to come this morning. And I just want to thank y'all for sharing your pastor with us at Coat of Many Colors. We love him very much, very dearly when he comes. He really edifies our part of the body and prepares us for the ministry. And we always look forward to having him there. So you are very blessed, and so are we. We thank you once again for sharing him. Thank you, brother and sister.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. I want to get right into the word. But before I do, I would like to honor the man and the woman of God. Back in 1998 or 97, I believe, I was ordained with the Assemblies of God. At that particular time, I was very excited about the ministry, pioneering a church. I wanted to take over another church. There was a church that already had 450 people with a parsonage. That is the ideal church. But God had not called us to take over another church. God had called us to pioneer a church. We started just with me and my wife and two girls at that particular time. But at that particular time in the ordination services, I was excited, but at the same time, I was scared. I didn't know. I knew I could do it because I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. But the fleshly part, man, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know how it's going to be that first year. I've heard horror stories. I just needed a little bit of confirmation. I just needed a little bit of love. And here comes your pastors. Your pastors come, and they come at the altars while we were being ordained. And he sows some money, some finance, puts it right into my hands. And he said, man of God, this is for you. We believe in you. And he sowed a seed when we got ordained that I will never forget. This seed is now turning into a palm tree because we shall not be moved. Can I get a witness in this place? And it was just at that time where we needed some love, some confirmation, and your pastors didn't even know us. I think we knew each other because my brother-in-law had gone to school with him. We knew each other just a little bit, but he came and sowed in our life. I'm here to submit to you and report to you that your pastor's seed, Dominion seed, hallelujah, is flourishing. We were nourished that day, and I really appreciate him for that. And I honor the pastor, the apostle of the church, the spiritual father of the church, and also the first lady of the church. I would just like to honor Pastor and First Lady Thurstonson. Can we give them a hand of appreciation? Come on, I believe we can do better than that. Thank you, man and woman of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's hard for me to not get emotional because they have just sown so much in my life. I remember in the first year, which was just last year, in our building, we have a big three revival that goes on where we bring three big preachers. And the Lord had impressed me to bring your pastor to the big three revival. He had the first night. And every time that the apostle has come to our church, our ministry, he has always left a residual. He's always left a residue every time that he leaves after he comes and preaches the word. And as he preached the word that first time at the Coat of Many Colors Ministries, the Big Three Revival, I'm telling you, he preached a message, a prophetic word, and the man of God set things in order at my church. He preached about wineskins. I believe he tailor-made and he customized that prophetic word just for me, just for the body at the Coat of Many Colors Church. We had some folk that stayed and they like to do things the old ways, and it's not that my ways are old nor new. It's just that God has given us a different way to do ministry. And the apostle came in and left a residual to the point where people were in order. People said, you know what? I don't care what I know. I don't care how long I've been in the ministry. Pastor, we lay our swords down. We got the word, and we have received the word. And whatever it is that God has called you to do, and the way how you want to do it, and the way how God has called you to do it, I hope that wasn't confusing. Sometimes I confuse myself. But anyway, my people said, we lay our swords down. That was the residual. It was Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And after Wednesday, I was through. No disrespect to the other two preachers, but we just had a time with that word. And he left the residual. He set things in order. We loved him so much that we brought him in the second time on a week revival. Thank you for sharing your pastor. We didn't bring in other preachers. It was just the apostle and just his ministry. And we had a time. He preached from Genesis to Revelation. The residue and the residual that he left us with. He had the body of Christ dancing. Body of Christ was running. He had me running. Can I get a witness in this place? Glory to God. He left us with such excitement that we were just, we thought we got kind of ornery and we got kind of big headed and kind of arrogant there because the Holy Ghost moved so much. We were just so excited. Amen. We didn't think nothing could hold us back. We even thought that there were no obstacles, but he left us with excitement. I know Dr. Ed Young has a billboard that says Second Baptist Church, the Fellowship of Excitement. No. It was the Coat of Many Colors Ministries the fellowship of excitement after the apostle came to my church. That was the residual that he left. The third time, we brought him in again to the Big Three revival. We were excited. We were excited. No obstacles. Nothing can, ain't no stopping us now kind of attitude. Excitement. But this word was different. This is the residual that he left the last time he came. He preached about giants. He preached about Anak. And I'm telling you, at the parking lot past midnight, me and my associate pastor were there, and we just looked at each other. There are a few obstacles, aren't there? And it got us to a place of prayer like never before in our ministry. He gave a cautionary word. It's like he pushed me and he allowed me to see forward of what is to come. And as I was pushed gently, I saw the things that were to come, and it brought the leadership to their knees. It brought the whole body to their knees. That is the residual that he left. And because of that residual, our church is growing in leaps and bounds. Wednesday night, he spoke over our youth ministry. We just planted another church in January. You know him, Pastor Abram Padron. And we thought that the youth ministry was going to take a dive. But Pastor Alfred Hernandez has taken it over after some words that were spoken in our youth ministry. My goodness, we got 50 people in the back on Wednesday. We've got over 50 people, children in the back. We've got more people in children's church and youth than we have adults in Wednesday. We got to do something about that. Help me, somebody. Amen. Praise the Lord. But because of the residual that he left on the last time he came, every time he comes, he leaves something with us. He leaves a word with us. And today, I would like to leave you a residual also. Today, I wanted to preach a message that will get everybody up dancing and get everybody excited. Today, I wanted to preach something that would, I didn't even want to preach with notes, but God kept on telling me to write down some things. I just wanted to preach one of them kind of messages where I just go, hey, can I get a witness in this? But you know what? God didn't lead me to preach that kind of message today. Today, I would like to leave you a residual. The text is found in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 1 through 9. And when you have it, please stand for the reading of God's word. Residual, residual. Heavenly Father, we receive what the man of God, what the mouthpiece has to say this morning. And we receive it wholeheartedly. Let it fall on good ground. Let it penetrate the heart of man, woman, boy, and girl. We receive it wholeheartedly. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. 1 Corinthians 9, and let's read 1 through 9. I may get to 10, 11, and 12. It just depends on how long the Holy Spirit will allow me to go. Let's read all together. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 1 through 11. Is this the King James Version? Okay. Let us read in the King James Version all together. Can we read in unison together? Amen. Let's read together. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle, unless others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. Mine answer to them that do examine is this. Have we not power to eat and to drink? Beautiful.
As well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and the Cephas, for I only and Barnabas have not we power to forbear working, who goeth the warfare any time at his own charge.
Listen, wow.
Who planteth the vineyard, and
planteth
not the fruit thereof.
Feedeth. Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? This morning, my residual is in this text. I would like to put a tag on the text, for the love of the apostle. Shall we bow our heads? Heavenly Father, we love you and thank you for this morning. For this is the day we come and enter your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. Our password this morning is thank you, Jesus, for your presence. Thank you, Jesus, for your holy presence. Thank you, Jesus, that we are the redeemed of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that through the power of your Spirit and through the power of your word, we will be fed this morning. We love you and thank you and give you all the praise. We pray that we'll accept everything and receive everything that you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Put a tag on the text, for the love of the apostle. I believe that God has designed our lives, that our lives are inextricably intertwined and intermingled with the man of God, with the apostle, with the preacher, with the pastor. Our lives in one way or another is going to be touched by the man of God. We are intertwined with the preacher in everything that we do. In fact, it is the hand of the preacher that dedicates our babies to the Lord. We're going to dedicate 9 babies pretty soon. Somebody shout amen. Amen. As we announced 9 babies, I looked over to our youth pastors and they said, it is the hand of the preacher that dedicates our babies to the Lord, as Hannah did with her son Samuel. It is the hand of the preacher that baptizes our children in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. It is the hand of the preacher that marries our young and speaks the word of God, that what God has joined together, no man can put asunder. It is the hand of the preacher that when our loved ones die, they come and preach and commit the body to the ground and consoles the family with support and comforting words from earth to earth, from ashes to ashes, from dust to dust. So from the time that we are born to the time we die, God has designed it that our lives are intermingled and tied in. He has tied our lives with preachers, with apostles, with bishops. Let me give you a little remindful insight here. When you get sick, you call on the doctor and the preacher. When you get in trouble, you leave the doctor alone, you call the lawyer and the preacher. When you are in a financial crisis, you call a financial counselor or a banker. You leave the lawyer alone, you leave the doctor alone, you call the banker and the preacher. When your young one, boy or girl, gets in trouble, you call the school counselor and the preacher. When there's a disturbance in your home, you call the police and the preacher. And when a loved one dies, you call the funeral director and the preacher. God has designed our lives to be tied in with the apostle. This morning, I want to talk to you about for the love of the apostle. Many of us, if we will be honest with ourselves, are all the better because some preacher touched your lives. Here in our text, the apostle was dealing with this in the church because people in the church just did not have a disposition to support the preacher. The church was falling in the trick of the devil that is going on in our days in time, that we spend so much time accusing and spreading rumors and dissing and dogging out the apostolical, our spiritual parents. Every time we're at lunch, we ought to be chewing up them pork chops instead of chewing up the apostle. Paul says to me, that's not new to me, Gershon Swan. That's why I had to write to the church of Corinth. In spite of the fact that Paul had been so instrumental in their success, they, the church, were not supporting the man of God. 1 Corinthians 8, Paul always had good counsel to the church. They were talking about meat. Should we eat meat? Should we not eat meat? Old Testament, New Testament. The apostle had to come in and straighten some things out. Look. That's not important. What's important is don't make a brother fall. They had another time where they were arguing another doctrine. Is circumcision good? Is uncircumcision good? Yeah, look. What's important? Circumcision is good. Uncircumcision is good. What's important is, are you obeying the laws of God? No matter what they were debating and rebutting, whether it was genealogy, who begat who. Paul always had a word in season and out of season. Every time the church got into an argument, the apostle would come in and bring order in the church. Meat. Simple things like meat. Somebody asked me, can you still eat pork and still go to heaven? Absolutely, but just a whole lot quicker. Paul was teaching. Paul was pastoring. Paul was counseling. Let's go to the word. Verses 1 and 2. You ought to be supporting me, the apostle said, because of the results that I brought into your life. Have I not seen the Lord? Have I not been sent? Have I not been serving you? Are you not my seal? If you just check out my results, that ought to indicate that I ought to get paid. That's what the apostle was saying. A few years ago, Kevin Garnett for the Minnesota Timberwolves signed almost a $20 million contract after playing in the NBA for just 2 years. Charles Barkley, well-known philosopher, said that we have these young players that are getting paid, but they have not produced. He said, what is up with that? The Minnesota Timberwolves rebutted and said that we're not paying Kevin Garnett for what he has done, but for what he's going to do. That's called future potential. In 1997, same year, Michael Jordan, MJ, signed a $35 million contract a year. The Chicago Bulls organization said that we're not paying him for what he's going to do, future potential, but we're paying him for what he has already done, past production. Paul was saying to the church at Corinth, I know that I have future potential, but if you don't believe me, you ought to pay me for my past production. Verses 1 and 2. It talks about the criteria. The criteria was raised right here, in the our passage this morning. He was defending his apostleship. He was defending what God had done in his life, how he had seen the Lord. When Jesus was raised from the dead, he first appeared unto Peter, and then to the 500, and then to James, and then all the other apostles saw him. But after that, y'all, I saw him too. Sometimes we've got to defend our apostleship. I saw him as one that was born out of due time. Hallelujah. I'm not even fit to be an apostle, but I stand before you here today, not because I'm so good, but because I am what I am through the grace of God. Verse 2, let us exegete and let's just go verse by verse. He says, if I'm not a pastor to anybody else, if I'm not an apostle to anybody else, if I'm not a preacher to anybody else, I am to you. You are my work. You are my seal. You are my certificate. You are my license. You are my ordination. The proof that I have that I've been called by God. I don't care what other folks say in the barbershop about me. That's what Paul was saying. I don't care what other people say in the beauty shop. I don't care what all the ladies are saying when they're getting their nails done. How do I know? I get my nails done once in a while. He said he didn't care what other people say. Beauty salon. What other family members say? Your preacher's just like this and he's this and she's that. If nobody else knows that I've been called, you ought to know it. That's what the apostle was saying. Ordination papers? You my ordination papers. There wouldn't even be a church in Corinth if God hadn't called me to pioneer the church in Corinth. There wouldn't even be a dominion. I wish I had a witness in this place. If God had not led me to pioneer Corinth, it doesn't have anything to do with the fact that I've sat, this is the apostle talking, that I've sat at the feet of Gamaliel, that I am a Hebrew amongst Hebrews, that I've done in other places what I've done in other places and preaching in Galatia and Ephesus. Doesn't have anything to do with the fact that the apostle goes from church to church, setting things in order, conference to conference, and setting preachers in order. Doesn't have anything to do with how well sought after that they need to hear from the apostle. Doesn't have anything to do with that. The apostle was saying, y'all, he was from Texas, Apostle Paul. He said, y'all are better because God has called me to you. I'm not concerned with other folk. I'm concerned with the church of Corinth. The proof of the Apostle Paul was the church of Corinth. The proof of the Apostle Greg Thurston's calling is not degrees. It's not licensing. It's not ordination. It's not seminar speaking. It's not conference speaking. The proof is you. Some of y'all wouldn't even be saved if it wasn't for the apostle. Some of y'all's marriages wouldn't even be together and restored by the power of the Holy Ghost if it wasn't for the apostle. Your children would be in left field, right field, not even in the field if it wasn't for the apostle strung out on drugs. Some of y'all wouldn't even be preaching and teaching. Some of y'all wouldn't even know ministry if it wasn't for the apostle. Results, 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 results have come to the house of God because of the head of the church. How many of y'all have ever, write this down, results, results. The first point, if y'all didn't get it, was rights of the apostle. And then we're talking about results now. You ever come to church with your head bowed down and came up out of church with your head lifted up? Have you ever come to church lost and didn't know what to do, but came out of the church through the power of His Word, knowing exactly what to do, getting a green light in your spirit, getting a red light in your spirit, getting a cautionary word in your spirit? Hallelujah. Have you ever come to church wanting to quit, throwing the white, waving the white flag, throwing in the white towel? But at the end of service, at the end of the counseling session, have you ever gotten excited about what God has for you? The next step that God has for you. The next breath that you're fixing to breathe. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Has your marriage ever been in a mess? And now your marriage gives God all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Have you had no place to go, but now have some place to go? Have you ever been sick coming in church and come out healed through the power of the Holy Spirit? After the apostle maybe laid hands, laying on of hands is the impartation. And what the apostle is doing is that he is imparting faith. It's not a denominational thing. It's an imparting thing. Anytime the apostle lays hands on you, he is imparting something to you. He's imparting his faith. He's imparting the word. He's imparting what he's seen in the heavenlies, because this fight is not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities. He's what he's seen in the principalities that he is imparting. That's why the Bible says call for the elders of the church. Have you ever come to church not knowing where to go, but the results were, I know exactly where I'm going. Hallelujah. Results. Rights. Verse 3. People judge me, or they examine me, the apostle Paul said. Every now and then, the apostle had to submit a defense, or he had a right. Results, and now rights. No matter what he does, somebody's going to be saying something. If he does one way, everybody's going to go the other way, or somebody's going to have something to say. Praise the Lord. I could see that I came in real formal, and now I'm talking all like myself now. Praise the Lord. Is that all right? Yes. Can I be myself this morning? Yes. If you cross your T's, like in Thurston, Apostle, and if you dot your I's, people are still going to say something, so you might as well do what God has called you to do. Somebody say amen. No matter what, no matter what, no matter what. No matter what you do, somebody's going to say something about it. If you do this, the opposite, your way, my way. Somebody's, if you preach with power and boldness, somebody's going to say, well, man, why has he got to be screaming all the time, telling me what to do? He ain't my daddy. And then when he preaches with meekness and he stands with humility, then somebody goes, how come he don't preach with the backbone like them other preachers? And then, when he begins to go a little, because he is sought after, and he preaches a revival and a conference here and there, and he gets on the road, and somebody's going to say, well, you know, we paid him to be the pastor. How come he can't just stay home and minister to the flock? And then when he stays home all the time, the people of God are saying, well, why didn't he expose himself to what other people are doing? Why didn't he just learn something and bring back something fresh and anew? And then when the man of God comes in here and tries to, you know, just dress decently with a nice suit and, you know, a watch that will keep time, you know, people are going to say, look at him. He all flashy and stuff, you know, he all trying to. And then when he dresses down and tries to be like the common folk, people say, well, man, we pay him enough. Why has he got to be all shabby and stuff? Why doesn't he represent the church, represent Dominion like he ought to? Then he gets a decent automobile so that he can get from place to place and conference to conference. That he doesn't go to conference. Just he goes there to pour out. And when he goes and with his automobile, you know, reliable, get him back and forth to get the first lady back and forth here and there. And then people are going to say, well, that's why I don't give. You see all the money going up to that car. And then when he tries to keep a car for 7 years and for 10 years, people will say, well, if we all gave a dollar, at least he can get a decent car to get him to church so that he could represent Dominion Church. If he tries to shake hands and give people the brotherly kiss and brotherly love, people will say, you see, they'll look at him all smiling and flirting and hugging all the sisters and the brothers. And he's just nothing but. And then when he tries to go in his office because he's tired, people will say, well, you know, he's all inaccessible and don't you all stuck. All people are always saying something to the apostle here. Paul was speaking. I'm not trying to correlate anything or trying to speak. I'm just preaching what the apostle is preaching. Somebody say amen. Amen. Paul had rights, so he defended himself. Can't defend yourself if you don't know what your rights are. When you get arrested, the first thing they'll do is read you your rights. When you come up before a judge, you better know your rights. Amen. Or they'll throw you in jail. Verse 4, let's go. Right to eat and drink. What does that mean? The apostle said, I have a right, because of my results, to be sustained financially. Let's stop right there. Because when the apostle comes to HEB, when he goes, when the first lady goes to Kroger's, and they get all those groceries in, they don't say, remember, we're pastors of Dominion Church. Remember, I'm the apostle here. No. The people of God needs to be sustained financially. Hallelujah. And the next thing here, have we not have a right to eat and drink? And then all of a sudden, even light bills, and when we pay the light bill and when we pay the gas bill, remember, I'm Greg Thurston. I'm the Apostle Paul. We're not getting no free stuff. Amen. The apostle said we have a right to be sustained financially and also support. Here's the flow of scripture here. It talks about the flow of scripture. It talks about silver. It talks about a sister. And it talks about a spouse. A right to sustain the family. Support the family. Let me do a little commercial here. I got to hurry. But I need to do this commercial for the men of God and for preachers here. Flow of scripture here. A sequence of flow. Silver, sister, and what, and spouse. Silver, sister, spouse. Notice it does not say spouse, sister, and then silver. It talks about silver. If you're going to get a spouse, first of all, they need to be a sister. And before you start dating the sister, you better have some silver. Don't be talking about my mama live with me. No, you don't. You live with your mama. And there's nothing wrong with that, but don't be trying to get a sister and a spouse. Am I making any sense this morning? I'm not. Don't talk about you got silver. You got a date and you're bringing sister to Mickey D's, whatever you want. Supersize, baby, whatever you want. You better have some silver. Ministers, can I explain something here? Ministers do not take a vow of poverty. They do not take a vow of celibacy. Celibacy. Now, I commend and I am just astounded by Catholic priests. I love them because they have taken a vow of poverty. They have vowed that they'll never own anything in this world. Not even the clothes on their back. I love that. I commend them for it. They've taken a vow of celibacy. They promised that they wouldn't have sex with a woman. No. They've taken a vow of poverty, a vow of celibacy, Catholic priests. But we ain't no Catholic priests. We're gospel preachers. Hallelujah. We're gospel preachers. We come and we are married to the apostle. Prophet, evangelist, pastors, there's that ring we're married to, and the teachers. Praise the Lord. Verse 7, write down reason. We've got results, rights, now we've got reason. Verse 7, I'm just going verse by verse. Think about it here. It talks about a soldier, it talks about a farmer, and then it talks about a shepherd. Okay? This is the reason. This is the reason for sustenance. Wait a minute, Pastor. I've been a soldier. Think about it. In the military, soldiers don't buy their own stuff, right? They don't pay rent because the people, the government, who they're fighting for, is giving them what they need. They don't have to worry. All right, Pastor, but they get just the basics, though. They get just the basic shoes and the basic barracks, place to live. But look, y'all, the apostles not no private. Apostles are generals of the Most High God. You don't see General Colin Powell living in the barracks. He's got a different set of uniform. He's got people driving him from place to place. I don't want my general leading me into battle having to worry about the sister or the spouse, having to worry about the light bills, having to worry about the mortgages, having to worry about where the next meal is coming. How many of y'all, am I making any sense this morning? And then he gives in the basic stuff, but the apostle is not a private. Gives another explanation of the farmer. The farmer is allowed to eat what they have planted. Hallelujah. The shepherd, they're allowed to drink from their own flock. Here it is. There's another sequence of scripture here. Soldier fights. The farmer is in the field and he sows. Then a shepherd, he's the one that deals with the flock. I know that when the apostle came in here, he had to come in fighting first. Fighting the principalities. Fighting people that say, you can't do it, you can't do it. What do you mean start at a hotel? What do you mean in your doing studies at home and doing stuff at the hotel? What kind of a church are we going to have? You're not going to make it in a hotel. But I submit to you today, that not only are we going to make it, that y'all are making it. Somebody shout amen. And the best is yet to come. Y'all not hearing me. And I said the best is yet to come. Praise the Lord. Came in fighting, and then he came in sowing. He came in sacrificing. Sequence of scripture. And then a shepherd is now tending the flock. You can't tend the flock without seed. Amen? You can't be the farmer without fighting first in the spiritual realm. Verse 8, I'm going as fast as I can. I'm going to close with this. Verse 8, it talks about oxen treading the corn. Can I back up in the soldier and the farmer and the shepherd? Why does the apostle have to fight principalities first? To get control of the field. And when the man of God has control over the field, then he can begin to sow with his pouch on the field. He's sowing blessings. He's sowing healing. He's seen it in the heavenlies. He's sowing financial breakthrough. He's sowing in preachers. He's sowing in teachers. He's sowing in evangelists. He's sowing in pastors. Hallelujah. He's sowing in the men of God and in the women of God. I see the man of God spiritually just with his pouch that God had given him sowing in the field. And he can sow in the field because he's gotten control of the field. And when he begins to sow righteousness, and when he begins to sow, then he can begin to tend to the flock. And that's where we grow and grow and grow. Somebody say amen. Oxen. Verse 8, treading the corn. He's the one treading the corn. The oxen is. And the Bible says, you got to allow the oxen to eat from his own field. The Bible's not talking about oxen. The Bible is talking about preachers. The Bible is talking about preachers. He's the one that's treading the corn. Just read the word. Read the word. He says, if you would just read the word once in a while, you'll know. You hear the man of God saying, read the word, read the word. It's in the word. In fact, this really blew my mind. Numbers, write down Numbers 18, verses 20 through 24. When they were getting into the land, God said to the preachers, look, I'm not going to divide up any land for y'all, for your family, for the Levitical priesthood. He says, wait a minute, the preachers said, we pastored with you, we preached with you, we're tending the flock with you, how come? The man of God said, look, God is going to be your inheritance. And when the people of God get theirs and their land and their blessing and their breakthrough, you are the oxen. You will tread and you will get what you get through your word that I've given to you. Don't worry about lands. It's going to come from the people. In fact, in Malachi, the Bible says, bring in your tithe into the storehouse. Wait a minute. It says, bring in your tithe or bring in your meat into the storehouse. Who lives in the storehouse? Don't nobody live. God didn't need any food. God's not hungry. You know who's in the storehouse? The man of God. So if we will look at it through scripturally, the Bible says, just read the word. Just read the word. The tithe literally belongs to the man of God. Bring meat into the storehouse. Don't muzzle. They that labor in the word are worthy of double honor, double honorarium. Let me skip so I can get a little bit more out, and then I'm through. Verse 14. Let's skip there. Those who preach the gospel are to live of the gospel. You see, the apostle sacrificed. He didn't take any meat, any money for a couple of years so that the people would hear the gospel. In closing. If I can just have just some background music, I will turn it over to our bishop this morning. The apostle Paul sacrificed. He sacrificed. I don't know what your bishop has sacrificed, but I know what we have sacrificed. Even with our kids, sometimes we sacrifice. So when our kids are treated with some love and with some respect, praise the Lord, it blesses us more than it would that when you bless us. Because there's times where the time that I'm supposed to have with my kids. And my wife spoke this to me. You know, baby, sometimes the time that is supposed to be for your kids is with the people. And I understand that. But she said, don't let it go too long. I understand that you are a pastor. and it brought me in order. And there are times that I spend the time that I'm supposed to spend with my kids to the people of God, but it's because of the gospel. It is because of this gospel. The Apostle Paul says, I preach this gospel not to get paid. I preach this gospel not for anything else. But the Bible says that he preaches it because it's a necessity. The Word of God says, woe is me. Woe, Apostle, you know what I'm talking about? Woe is me. Necessity is laid upon me. I don't have to eat. I've got to preach this gospel. Because this gospel transcends everything. This gospel transcends color. It transcends creed. It transcends this gospel when it's preached. It doesn't matter what background that you come from. Red, yellow, black, or white. It's a necessity that has been laid upon preachers. That if I don't preach this gospel, it would be woe to me. I willingly preach this gospel. The apostle was talking about rights and results and reason. But the reason why we preach this gospel is we know that we have a reward. That we know that someday when we are before our Father, he'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in into my presence. I preach this gospel because it also transcends not only color, it not only transcends creed, but it transcends character. That's why we are the people of excellence. That's why we are the people that are succeeding. We are progressing. We are the ones that are getting the promotions because we are the people of excellence. And that comes through the gospel. It comes through having character. It comes through being dependable and trustworthy and reliable. It comes from being there on time. And this is just the spirit of excellence and the people that we need to be. And it comes through the preaching in the house of God. I'm preaching so that I may win some, the apostle says. I became all things to all people. And the apostle may not have won all, but he has won some. I know that the apostle have gone to several churches. He may not have won all, but he has won some. I know that he has preached in revivals, which you've allowed your pastor to go and pour out the word and what's in the spirit. He may not have won all, but he has won some. I know that he's preached in conferences for the ministers of the gospel. He may not have won all of them, but I know that he has won some. I know that he has preached not only in this city, but out of state and out of the nation. And he may not have won all, but I know that he has won some. And we preach this gospel. Even today, I know that he has preached here in this platform. He may not have won all of you, but I know that he has won some. I'm talking to some right now. I'm talking to somebody right now. He has won y'all through the preaching, through the power of his word, and through the power of his spirit. So that others may know that God, hallelujah, is a God worthy of serving. God is a God that will not only meet your need. He'll not only hear, but he'll answer. I'm talking to some. And that some turns into more. I hear the word of the Lord this morning. More. 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 The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. We preach this gospel. Allow the man of God, and I know you do. I pray that this message this morning will not only be for review, but revelation for some. I pray that when the word has been expressed and expounded this morning, I pray that it will be for revelation for some of us. and not just review. Bow your heads with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I will turn it over to our apostle in just a few minutes. But if I can have maybe Sister Dina come and help me sing, I need you more, more than yesterday. I hear the word more, more, more. And then I will turn it over to our apostle. Hallelujah. Come on, bow your heads with me. The best is yet to come, people. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Glory to God.